with the gods as our witnesses.
The best ever.
Let us pledge that the winner will allow the loser all the proper funeral rituals.
There are no pacts between lions and men.
No, you're a killer!
Sir, yes, sir!
I want to see your war face!
This is impregnable!
Ah! That's a war face! Now let me see your war face! Ah! Bullshit! You didn't convince me! Let me see your real war face!
You serious? You serious?
You don't scare me! We're talking!
You serious?
To my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory.
Greetings, five fans, to this, your Halloween edition of In the Squared Circle with Felipe León. I am wearing a mask as we are on the air right now. Obviously, you can't see me, but I am wearing a mask. This is your episode number 40 of In the Squared Circle with Felipe León, where we give you all the boxings going on, news notes, fight results, and upcoming calendar, or 30 minutes or less, here on the Leave It in the Ring Network. My name is Felipe León, international editor of FightNews.com, and also co-host of Boxeo Tijuana every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Pacific on our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/Boxeo Tijuana. And every other week here on the Leave It in the Ring Network, with our next show being this Thursday, November 3rd, it's a two-minute round, your hooks and jabs look at the female fight world with David Avila and Elena Baby Doll Reed, where we discuss everything to do with female boxing. But with that said, here is In the Square Circle, your 30-minute or less recap of everything boxing, and we're going to go into our next section, what we like to call our hooks and jabs. In a move in the right direction, although the fight is not too much to write home about, Terence Crawford, the WBO and WBC unified 140-pound champion, will face John Molina Jr. on December 10th on HBO. Molina Jr. is 29-6, 23 knockouts, and this will be his second opportunity for a world title. In his first, he was stopped in 44 seconds by Antonio DeMarco for the WBC 135-pound title. He is on a two-fight win streak, with his last a unanimous decision over Ruslan Provodnikov. The bigger story here is the fact that it's the first time since Mayweather-Pacquiao that Top Rank and Al Haymon get together in a non-mandatory fight. My opinion on first glance of this fight, I just don't see how John Molina is a better opponent than perhaps the ones that were mentioned before. Antonio Orozco, an undefeated fighter, ranked number one by the WBC at super lightweight, and the IBF super lightweight champion Eduard Trajanovski, or some Russian name like that. Honestly, I don't have it in front of me, so I don't remember his name, but I know it starts with a T. Last name, his first name is Eduard. And John Molina, honestly, he's a great fighter. He's a warrior. He puts on great fights, especially his last one against Ruslan Provodnikov. But to me, he's not an elite fighter. He's not a guy in the A level of the sport. And Terence Crawford is, so I think this is a given fight. This is a fight that Terence Crawford might struggle. Nah, I'm not even going to say struggle, but, you know, John Molina is going to have his moments. But to me, he's not a better boxer, and he's not much tougher than Victor Postol. I think Victor Postol was a tougher fighter and also the better boxer. So I think if Terence Crawford was able to look to make Victor Postol look pretty amateurish and pretty basic, he's going to do even worse to John Molina Jr. So, well, we're going to see on December 10th. That's going to be on HBO. But the bigger story there, like I mentioned, is the fact that Top Rank, Bob Arum, and Al Haymon of the PBC have gotten together to make this fight. So hopefully this is a step in the right direction, and hopefully in 2017 we get to see a lot more of this combination, because that way we could get started in getting rid of this whole different league, different universe type of thing, and we get to see some better fights between the PBC guys and at least Top Rank. Besides the mega first quarter of 2017 announced by Showtime, which features Carl Frampton's versus Santa Cruz 2, Badu Jack against James DeGale, and Danny Garcia against Keith Thurman in March, the premier boxing champions of PBC or PBC of Al Haymon share their aggressive schedule for 2017. The PBC will broadcast fight cards on Fox, FS1, Spike, NBC, ESPN, CBS, and Bounce TV. When it comes down to it, it's over 50 fights in the whole year, closer to 70 fights. And like I mentioned in the first note, you know, hopefully within those 50 or 70 fights are going to be happening next year for the PBC. We see some fights cross promoted with Top Rank, and you know, God forbid that we actually get rid of this whole second or third universe going around, and we also get some Golden Boy fighters there, because I think that's when boxing would really be back where it should be. A lot of people thought that the PBC was in its last legs, that it was going to be gone. Obviously, Al Haymon's going through some legal issues. He's getting sued by some of the people that were part of that fund, that where he took most of the money. But by the looks of this announcement, it looks like he's right back where he started, and he has a bunch of fights announced. I mean, obviously, these fights have to be put together. NBC pushed their last remaining fights that they had scheduled for 2016. They pushed them to 2017, and actually in the schedule that they announced for 2017, NBC doesn't broadcast any fights until the third part of 2017, starting in like late September is when NBC, the actual network, is going to start broadcasting PBC shows. So they're not even going to broadcast anything for the beginning of 2017. So, but besides that, I mean, Fox is going to be broadcasting FS1, Spike, ESPN, CBS. They all start at different times. They all have different schedules or seasons for the fight cards that they're going to be presenting as part of the PBC. But we are going to be having fights throughout the year from the PBC on their different platforms. Lou DiBella of DiBella Entertainment has gone on the record and canceled all the events he had planned in the state of New York for the rest of 2016. The reason? The new legislature, better known as the MMA law, which made it legal in the state, where it raises the minimum levels for death and injury in the insurance policy promoters must acquire to put on events in the state. The bigger issue is the minimum $1 million for brain injury for each fighter on the card the policy must include. As of right now, there is no insurance provider in the state able to write that kind of policy. DiBella mentioned that the law is killing the sport in the state and is asking for legislators to reconsider. This law took effect on September 1st, and it already has claimed its first casualties, one of them being the Daniel Jacobs WBA middleweight title fight against Sergio Mora, the rematch. That fight was supposed to go down at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, where Daniel Jacobs is from, but because of this new law, it got moved to Pennsylvania. And then we all saw what happened there, where Daniel Jacobs against Sergio Mora ended up being the walkabout, because obviously not a lot of people were interested in a fight, and more people were interested in the Robert Easter fight. So it has claimed its first casualties. Heather Hardy, a female fighter, very popular in the state of New York, in New York City, sells a ton of tickets for Lou DiBella. She's feeling the crunch also, because, you know, if she can't perform in the state or in the city, you know, it's very hard to have her fan base travel outside of the state. And that way it's costing her money out of her pocket, because if she can't sell tickets, she can't fight. It just doesn't make financial sense. And if she can't fight with him, she can't make money. So she is one that actually spoke out against the law as well. Obviously, the $1 million policy that is required for every fighter. So imagine the premiums on that policy. I mean, it's a good idea. We're protecting the fighters, especially the heavyweight fighter that suffered that brain injury. But I mean, if you got five fights, that's 10 fighters. Each one of them has to have a policy that protects them for $1 million in case of a brain injury. That's $10 million. I mean, the policy, the premium on that, it has to be astronomical, and obviously does not make financial sense for promoters to put on shows in the state. So if they want boxing and even MMA, which tends to have even bigger fight cards, you know, with more fights in the state, they're going to have to reconsider, because I'm sure that venues like the Madison Square Garden and the Barclays Center, which you know depend on these kind of events to at least you know several times a year. I'm pretty sure they're lobbying their legislators and saying, "Hey, we need to reconsider this, and we need to talk about this because it's going to cost money all the way around the whole state, not only the promoters but also you know people that work at the Madison Square Garden, at the Barclays Center, and other venues within the state that have boxing or MMA. Well, MMA is something new that's going on in that state, but I'm pretty sure they're counting on it. Showtime's Steven Espinosa mentioned in an interview Floyd Mayweather Jr. will not even joke about a comeback on his part. Espinosa said Mayweather Jr. is very content in promoting his stable of fighters and spending his money, including the $300 million he grossed from his fight with Pacquiao in May of 2015. Espinosa said he has not given up and is still looking for ways to get Mayweather Jr. back in the ring. Obviously, Steven Espinosa finds it very important for Mayweather Jr. to continue to fight because it means money in not only the network's pocket, but as well as Mayweather's and even Steven Espinosa's, I would guess. You know, I wouldn't put anything past Mayweather. He's done it before. He mentions he's not going to come back, and then all of a sudden he drops the big news. He's still a young man. He's still like in his late 30s, you know, in perfect shape. He always stays in shape. He's not... he hasn't suffered. He hasn't gone through any wars. Hasn't suffered any huge punishment or a lot of punishment in his boxing career. So if he can still come back, he can. Let's see if he does. Obviously, we all heard the rumors of him trademarking, you know, 50 and 50 this and 50 that because he's 49-0. So we'll see if he did that for a reason or if he was just trying or he was thinking about it at that time and then decided not to. We'll see. We'll see what happens with Floyd Mayweather Jr. And finally, in our news and notes section, with Richard Schaefer, formerly of Golden Boy Promotions, but now of his new company, Ringstar Sports, back in the mix, he has gone public to state that if he was still in charge, Canelo Alvarez and Gennady Golovkin would already have fought, and discussions for the rematch would be the subject of talks now. He is convinced Alvarez wins the fight because he considers him one of the top five fighters in the world, but he has also gone on to say he feels Triple G deserves a purse split and not the flat fee of eight figures Golden Boy offers. So we don't know if this is a ploy from Richard Schaefer to just get in the news and have people talk about him, or if he actually feels that this is true. But, you know, Richard Schaefer is Richard Schaefer, and he's back in the mix. So, you know, one thing you do have to say about him is that he is one of the quite possibly the smarter and more successful boxing promoters in the last 15, 20 years. I mean, he did help co-found Golden Boy Promotions and take it to the levels that it is now. And so you got to take what he says, if it's true, with a little bit of weight. So with that said, we go to our fight results. On Friday, October the 28th, from the Laredo Energy Arena in El Paso, Texas, Top Rank gave us on Unimas Eric De Leon stopping Brazilian Aldimar Silva Santos in the third round of Schedule 8 at Super Featherweight, while Brazilian Esquiva Falcao forced Gerardo Ibarra not to come out for the sixth round. The official time, to not come out for the seventh round, the official time was the third minute of the sixth round of a Schedule 8 at middleweight. On Saturday, October 29th, from the Palenque Vicente Fernandez in Gomez Palacio Durango in Mexico, Promociones del Pueblo on Televisa gave us former champion Cristian Mijares scoring a unanimous decision over Shohei Kawashima in a scheduled 12-rounder. Mijares defended his WBC silver featherweight title. Scores there were 115, 113 three times, while former champion Francisco Chivas Rodriguez stopped Filipino Crison Omayao in the fifth round of a scheduled eight at the flyweight division. Omayao was down in the fourth and fifth round, while from Cabo San Lucas, Mexico, Sanford Promotions on the Bein Deportes and Azteca channel gave us Cesar Juarez scoring a unanimous decision over Filipino Richard Pumipik in a scheduled 10 rounder over in the super bantamweight division. The scores there were 98-91, 96-93, and 95-93. And finally, from the Coliseo Roberto Clemente in San Juan, Puerto Rico, pay-per-view in Puerto Rico, Juan Manuel Lopez scored a 11th round technical knockout over Wilfredo Papito Vasquez Jr. and a scheduled 12 rounder and a catch weight of 129 pounds. Obviously, this fight was a fight between two former Puerto Rican champions with a lot of heat between them. It was clear that they did not like each other, that this fight was a grudge match. Juanma ended up stopping Wilfredo Vasquez Jr. And if you guys had not seen the video just yet, look for it anywhere on Facebook or Twitter, where Juanma Lopez actually, as soon as he knocks out Vasquez, he actually exchanges punches with a member, Alberto Rivera, of the team, the Vasquez team, corner man for Vasquez. And he almost got knocked out. I mean, Rivera scored a pretty good left hook to the chin of Juanma that sent him against the ropes, and then they kind of exchanged some punches, and they had to be separated after the fight. The second fight of the 11th round, Juanma Lopez took the mic and asked for people to calm down because people started throwing stuff into the ring. He asked them to please calm down because he had there were kids in obviously at the venue, including his kids. And today on Monday, early this week, it was announced that both Juan Manuel Lopez and Alberto Rivera were going to be suspended by the Puerto Rican Commission so they could do an investigation and see exactly what happened. Wilfredo Vasquez Jr. had stated in the press conferences before the fight that he was going to retire, that this was going to be definitely his last fight of his career, while Juanma Lopez, with the knockout win, feels that he still has something to offer the boxing world, and he called for a third fight against Orlando Salido or an opportunity against Abner Mares. So let's see what happens there first, because obviously Juanma Lopez has to get through his suspension with the Puerto Rican Commission. It's not the first time that he gets suspended. Back in 2012, I believe, he was suspended for a year and fined $10,000 for calling referee Rafael Ramirez a degenerate gambler after he felt that Ramirez prematurely stopped one of his fights. And he felt that he did that because he had actually bet against them and for him to lose in a certain round. And obviously that was unfounded. He later apologized to the referee when the referee actually sued him for, I would believe, defamation or libel or something. So Juan Lopez still in hot water with the Puerto Rican Commission, and they're waiting to see how long that suspension is going to be for actually getting into a physical exchange with one of the cornermen for Vasquez Jr. in his win over Wilfredo Vasquez Jr. This Saturday night in Puerto Rico. So now we go to our upcoming calendar. And you are listening to In the Square Circle here on the Leave It in the Ring Network, your 30-minute or less recap of everything boxing for the week. We give you news and notes. We give you fight results. And now we're going to give you our upcoming calendar. And finally, October, or Darktober, like everybody was calling it in the boxing world, is finally over. We are going to start November, which is going to give us 2 months of pretty good boxing, including this first weekend of November. And we start off with Friday, November 4th, from the Belasco Theater in Los Angeles, California. Golden Boy Promotions on Estrella TV offers us Manuel Avila against Jose Ramirez in a scheduled 10-rounder at featherweight, while Emilio Sanchez takes on Diul Holguín in a scheduled 8-rounder at super bantamweight. The same night, from the Omega Products International in Corona, California, Banner Promotions on Showtime gives us Taras Chelestiuk versus Jaime Herrera in a 10-rounder at a welterweight, while Stevens Bujaj goes against Constantine Bejenaru in a 10-rounder at cruiserweight. Same night, Friday, November 4th, from the Treasure Island Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada, Top Rank on Unimas gives us Casey Ramos against Andy Vences in a scheduled 10-rounder for the vacant WBC Continental America's Super Featherweight title, while Jesse Hart takes on Andrew Hernandez in a scheduled 10-rounder at Super Middleweight. And on Saturday, November 5th, from the MBS Arena in Brandenburg, Germany, Giovanni De Caroli takes on Tyrone Ziugi in a 12-rounder for the WBA Super Middleweight title, while from the Polideportivo Centenario in Los Mochis, Mexico, Promociones del Pueblo on Televisa gives us Neri Saguillan versus Roseki Cristobal in a scheduled 10-rounder, while Felipe Orocuta takes on Efraín Pérez also in a 10-rounder. And finally, the big fight of the weekend, November 5th from the Thomas and Mack Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. Top Rank gives us on their own distributed pay-per-view. Jesse Vargas, a WBO welterweight champion in his first defense of his title, will face the one and only Emmanuel Manny Pacquiao, senator of the Philippines, in a scheduled 12-rounder, while Nonito Donaire will defend his WBO super bantamweight title against Jesse Magdaleno. Oscar Valdez, the newly crowned WBO featherweight champion, will defend for the first time his title against Hiroshige Osawa, and Zhu Shimin will go against Brasisak Faprom in a 12-rounder for the vacant WBO flyweight title. So we have four world titles on the pay-per-view edition, or the pay-per-view part of this Top Rank distributed pay-per-view this Saturday night from the Thomas and Mack Center. So that brings us to the end of another edition, edition number 40 of In the Squared Circle with Felipe León here on the Leave It in the Ring Network, your 30-minute or less recap of everything boxing for the last week. Before we go, let me give you the rundown of everything that you can listen to here on the Leave It in the Ring Network. First off, on Monday nights at 4 p.m. Pacific, you get The Next Round with Steve Kim and Gabriel Montoya. And if you haven't had a chance to watch the countdown for Manny Pacquiao, or better yet, Jesse Vargas, WBO welterweight champion, and Manny Pacquiao, you can find it on YouTube, on the Top Rank channel on YouTube, and you can see our very own Steve Kim giving his opinion about that fight and about Jesse Vargas and about Manny Pacquiao moving up to that fight on that show. So that's pretty cool. So that's every Monday night, The Next Round with Steve Kim and Gabriel Montoya. Every Tuesday, you get In the Squared Circle with Felipe León. This show, your 30-minute or less recap of everything boxing for the last week. Every Wednesday, you get the flagship show, 6 p.m. Pacific, Leave It in the Ring podcast with our fearless leader, David Dueñas, and Gabriel Montoya. And then every other Thursday, including this Thursday, November 3rd, you get the 2-minute round, your hooks and jabs look at the female fight world with Mr. David Avila, Mrs. Elena Baby Doll Reed, and myself, Felipe León. So with that said, I thank you for listening to another week here at In the Square Circle. Until next week.